This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring retired FBI special agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
If your son shows up without his girlfriend but has her vehicle, but she's not there, what do you do? You probably want to go find what happened, right? No, camping trip. Camping trip. Let's take the family on a camping trip. That's what happened with the Laundries when Gabby Petito was missing and Brian Laundrie returned home. There's now also allegations coming out that Brian had contacted his parents while everyone was searching frantically for Gabby Petito, that he had admitted to them that she was, quote, gone. Now, I guess gone could be subjective. You could say it meant this, it meant that, but I think in the end, we know exactly what that might mean. As this civil litigation continues to move forward, the waters get muddier and muddier. Here to discuss, Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent. Jennifer, what do you make of these new revelations where we're hearing that possibly the Laundries and their attorney found out the admission from Brian that Gabby was gone many days before they actually did determine that she had been deceased?
Well, I think, Tony, for those who kind of immersed themselves in the case, and at which many did, I think it's not a revelation. I think everybody suspected, but to see the words come out of their own mouths, I think for many people, it just backs up what so many in the true crime community already knew. And, you know, this case just is getting so much more stronger by the day for the Petitos and the Schmidts. Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. And, you know, they've known a lot of this information more wholly than the rest of us. But it's really some of these admissions under oath made by the Laundries that are becoming so interesting and supportive of the fact that they knew, they covered up, they had s'mores and lemonade at a campsite, all the while knowing that everybody was searching for Gabby Petito.
That, to me, is just such a, I don't know, just almost an impossible thing to think about, that to be able to go out and do something like that, go on a camping trip while the world is searching for the woman that your son left behind. And you go on a camping trip, people are searching, people are begging for you to talk. They're out mowing their lawn, yelling at the press to get away from them. It was all such a bizarre circus. And it didn't necessarily look, I guess, what one would think of as someone who is guilty, because it was so just flagrant out there. There wasn't hiding in the shadows. They were just living their life like nothing had actually gone on around them, or that these events were taking place. At what point do we move this from being, you know, civilly liable for emotional distress to, well, this is now aiding and abetting, if they knew this sort of information? Is that where this takes us, into some sort of criminal territory?
I don't think so, Tony. You know, the Bureau looked at this inside and out, up and down, you know, after, of course, receiving the writings and knowing some of the ins and outs of all of this. And they did make the determination that there wouldn't be criminal charges. You know, what we do know is when he came back, even if you know something, did you assist somehow in the cover up of the crime itself? And I don't think we have evidence of that particularly. Did they help harbor, if you will, a fugitive? Well, he wasn't charged, you know, until later. And at that point, you know, he disappears into the reservoir, leaving all his personal belongings behind, by the way, and taking a gun. And, you know, I will forever argue that was a completely assisted type situation. And especially when they went and picked up the car.
Yeah, well, yeah. If you had all these people searching for days and day, weeks, I think, actually, trying to figure out where he went, and then they just go out for a walk one day and they know exactly where he's at. Again, another very bizarre thing. But I guess if you're going to go for a camping trip when your son's girlfriend is missing and possibly presumed dead, I guess anything is possible in the mind of parents that would do something of that nature.
Right. I mean, recall the first time investigators went to their house, they cracked the screen door and passed through a business card of Steve Bertolino.
Mm-hmm.
So what family that loves, you know, this was a fiance. This is going to be a daughter-in-law.
That's true.
Debbie Petito lived there.
Yeah.
What future, you know, family member does that? They're definitely, all the signs were that they knew what had happened and that they never cooperated, Tony, mm-hmm. never no. throughout the whole time, never cooperated. I guess you could call it cooperating when they decided to walk around and try to help the FBI find the, you know, show him the last spot they found Brian. But of course that didn't pan out until they decided to go on their own when the reservoir was back open.
Steve Bertolino, will this have any effect on his, you know, standing with the bar as an attorney, I wonder, with the fact that he allegedly had this information that she was gone and continued to put out statements that we're hoping, you know, we find Gabby and that she's a safe return. I'm paraphrasing here. But if he had the knowledge that she was gone, does that affect, you know, your professional standing as an attorney?
I don't think so, because at that time, of course, this was a criminal investigation mm-hmm. Toward Brian Laundrie and potentially the parents, right? If he would have lived and if they would have, you know, continued to harbor and to aid and abet his fleeing from the police, if after he was charged, they would have done actions like that. So what is, you know, that's the one sacred thing that we really do have in our system that's special, right, is the attorney-client privilege. And you can admit all you want as long as you're not complicit in the aiding and abetting or the harboring. So I don't think it will affect in that way. Boy, do I think he's going to be jammed up civilly in this suit.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's why he wanted to make a settlement, mm-hmm. which they didn't let him weasel out of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he doesn't want to testify about all of this.
There's so many gray areas in this where things are not necessarily moral or right, but maybe not necessarily illegal. And that's where I think it gets into a very tricky territory. And obviously that's where you have civil litigation that is coming into play. It will be interesting to watch where this one continues to go in 2024. And hopefully they can wrap this up and everyone in this can find some peace.
Yeah, this was never about the money, Tony, for the Schmitz and the Petitos. I can tell you that. This is about a reckoning. Yeah. This is about putting somebody on the stand and getting the truth out, and the truth before, mostly for them, but I think also for a community and for a nation that, you know, searched for this young woman and really got caught up in this storm. So I'm glad they haven't allowed settlement of any sort to date, and that everybody is able to see the unveiling of what really happened.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.